is or take copious notes and call me out when I mess up, because I do mess up. Prayerfully, not that often, but occasionally. I'd like to say hello to our summer people. Hi, Jackie, Jim and Kathy, Andy and Dale. Say, Jeremy, Kathy. I'd like to say hi to those other people that listen online. Terry and Barb in Arizona. Mark over in Buffalo. Buffalo area, sorry. North Tawanda, I believe it is. Mandy and anybody else that listens, we greet you in the name of Jesus. I want to talk this morning about facing disappointment. How many people have ever had a plan or a expectation not work out the way you thought it was going to? See, a show of hands, everybody's hand. It happens with each and every one of us. And sometimes it's devastating things. Sometimes it's minor. Sometimes it's not. But we, each and every one of us, will face disappointment. I just finished rereading a book by a friend of ours, Debbie Davis, called The Promise of Suddenly. And she talks about how going through the Bible and also in our own lives, we will pray for something for a long time, and then all of a sudden it happens. But one of the things, one of the quotes in the Bible, it says, a hope can't become faith until it's tested. And faith can't be tested until it's offended. Until we have an expectation that doesn't work out. Do we still believe when things do not work the way we think they're going to? Quite a few years ago in this church, in fact, I think it was before I became the pastor here, we were attending at the time. One of the people attending, his sister had cancer. And I was certain, absolutely positive in my bones, 100% certain that God was going to heal her. That she was going to go to the doctor and be absolutely cancer free. I was positive. I knew it. And then she died of cancer. So there's that shaking. What happened? Each and every one of us have things where we expect things to work out one way and they don't. And it becomes a question, is just because it didn't work the way I thought it should, am I going to give up on God, or are we going to keep pressing on? Jesus had been talking with the multitude, and they had been following him. This is after he'd fed the 5,000 with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You're aware of the story. And Jesus said, I am the living bread. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And the people got up and left. They got upset and offended and left. Great multitudes of them left. And Jesus turned to the disciples and says, will you also leave? And the disciples said, where else will we go? You have the words of life. We don't always understand why things happen the way that they happen. But we do know, or we can grab a hold to the fact, prayerfully we know, and we have experienced the fact that God is faithful. And God is at work, even in difficult situations, even in problem situations. God is still God, and He is still worthy of praise. In John chapter 11, verse 17, starting with verse 17, it's the story of Lazarus. You're familiar with it. I pray. I work under the assumption that everyone reads their Bible and everybody knows what I'm talking about. Okay? So I throw that out there. So if you don't, I'm sorry and I'll try to work. But that's the assumption I come to this with. So beginning with verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So that's Lazarus. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." How often, when things don't go the way we expect them to, do we say, "Lord, why'd you do it that way? Lord, why did you let that happen?" We don't understand. We face disappointment. The difficulties arise in everybody's life. James tells us that. Peter tells us that. Paul tells us that. Jesus tells us that. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation. You will have problems. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Every person under the face of the sun goes through difficult times. If you go all the way back, reading in Solomon's writing in Ecclesiastes, he talks about how everybody goes through the same things. Everybody goes through difficult times. Dropping down to verse 28. Still talking about Martha. "And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.' As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, 'She is going to the tomb to weep there.' Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews which came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." You know, right after this is the verse that says Jesus wept. Jesus knew what was going on, knew what God was going to do, was perfectly aware that he would be calling forth Lazarus from the tomb, yet groaned in his spirit and was sorrowful with them. He wept with those who wept. So many times we will encounter people who have no hope, who are overwhelmed by their circumstances. And one of the things that God uses when we go through a disappointing time, when we go through turmoil and trouble in our own lives, is God comforts us so that we can turn and give that comfort to those who are hurting. Each and every person faces disappointment. Last Sunday, Debbie and I had gone to see Tina in the hospital. And we prayed for her and we talked to her and we were talking about her getting better so that we could take her back down to the Weather Vane for lunch. Weather Vane is in West Lebanon, New Hampshire. So 120 miles from here. But it's right by Dartmouth Hospital. And we had taken her down for appointments in the past and gone there for lunch. Expecting God would raise her up. Expecting God would heal her. Then Monday we got the call that she had passed. Things do not always happen the way that we think they ought to. But we don't have all the answers. God does. And He is doing things behind the scene that we will not understand now. But I don't know about you, but I hang on to the promise in the Bible. It says, "One day I will know, even as also I am known." One day I'm going to have the answers. In the meantime, I know that God is faithful. He has shown Himself faithful in my life in so many different ways. He has healed me. He has delivered me. He's rescued me from a foreign prison. He has done some wondrous things in my life. God is faithful. And even when it doesn't work out the way I think it ought to, even when it doesn't work out the way I think it's going to, it doesn't change the fact that I know God heals. I know God hears. And I know that God is at work. In Job 1, starting at verse 18, Job was a righteous man. Job was a wealthy man. Job had a large family. He had many friends. And he was the pillar of the community. He was an upstanding person all around. And God was showing him off to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all of the land. Honest and upright in all of his ways. And the devil said, that's only because you protect him. You start taking things away from him, he will curse you. And the Lord gave Satan permission to test Job. And Job has just been told that his herds of camels have been stolen. And his servants slain, and only one survived to come back and give the news. And while that one's talking, another one comes up and says, all of your sheep, your flocks have been taken. And all of your servants slain, and only I have returned. And then while he was speaking, somebody else comes up talking about another herd gone. And while the third person is speaking, this verse happens. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone am escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. And said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. How do we handle disappointment? When things don't happen the way we think that they ought to happen, what do we do? What is our response? Do we say, I trust God, and I'm going to trust God no matter what the situation is? I don't always do that. I'd like to think I do. I'd like to tell you I did, but then I would be lying and that would be another issue. But I don't always do that. But prayerfully and with experience, I get to that point, even though that might not be my initial reaction. I have seen God move in miraculous ways. I have seen God touch lives in just overwhelming manner. I grew up in a church. At 17, I left because I was 17. I had a lot of other things going on, and my life did not reflect that I was a follower of Jesus. I could stand in the pulpit and preach a sermon and be sinning. And I finally reached the point where I said, I cannot pretend to be a Christian anymore. And I left the church, and for 16 years I didn't go back. And my life was a mess. But God got a hold of me through it. I reached the point where my life was so messed up, I knew that the only help, I only hope I had in my life was God. Was to stop running and to turn around. And when I turned around to stop running, I found God was right there with open arms. That Jesus had died to pay the price for my sin, that I was forgiven, and that I was drawn back, welcomed into the fellowship. That was 25 years ago that I came back to the Lord. Praise God. I have a brother. I have a brother who went down a very, very similar path. Of course, he walked out of the church before I did. He's a year younger than I am. And for 35 years, the only time he was ever sober was when he was in jail. Other than that, he was drunk or stoned every time I saw him. And a few years ago, he reached the point where he stopped running. And now he pastors a little church in North Florida. God is able to take those things that the world writes off, those things that seem to be useless or beyond hope, and turns them around. And if God is able to do that in our lives, God is able to do that in other people's lives. I mentioned in the prayer talking about how the Lord would continue to reveal Himself to the Muslims. There have been documented cases of people giving testimony that they were in the mosque praying and Jesus walked in. People seeing a vision of Jesus and being touched and converted on the spot. God is at work even when we don't know what's going on. So when we see a circumstance that doesn't work out the way we think it ought to, we can still grab onto the fact that God is still sovereign. He is still in control. Romans 8, beginning with verse 18, says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Notice, Paul says, there is suffering in this present time. But God has something better in mind. Says in, I think it's in James. Might not be, but I think it's in James. The Bible says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things the Lord has prepared for those who love Him." I'm a semantics guy. I'm a word person. So what that says to me, what that translates to in my mind, is God has something so much better, so much bigger, so much more important in mind for me and for you than we can even imagine. He has got something wondrous in store for us. Getting back to the scripture here, verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For now we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, for the redemption of our body." Do we find that there's an expectation that God has something bigger planned than what we're seeing? Do we find that when things don't work out the way we have, the way we expect them to, or the way we hope they would, a disappointment, a holding back, a frustration in the fact that we know God can heal? Who here has seen somebody divine, miraculously healed? When I was 12 years old, I've been told I tell too many stories, okay? So I'm aware of it. It's just who I am. When I was 12 years old, the church that I grew up in, we had a visiting minister. This person had lost his left eye in a farm accident. A piece of wire took out his entire left eye. He had an empty eye socket, he put a glass eye in there, but he had an empty eye socket. And he had been prayed for healing, and God allowed him to see through an empty eye socket with no eyeball in it. I watched them tape up his only eye, his right eye, you know, patch over it, tape so you can't see anything, take out the glass eye so it's an empty eye socket. I watched him read my father's driver's license. And what he said was, "If I had came to you and said, I was in an accident and I lost my eye and God gave me a new eye, you'd have said, praise the Lord, brother, that's wonderful. But it wouldn't have made an impact." He said, "You will remember this." I am 57. That was 45 years ago. I saw him read my father's driver's license. A few years ago, I think it was Charisma Magazine, had a write-up, and they mentioned this person because he went all over the place. He went all around to different churches doing the same thing and preaching that God heals. And We remember things like that. We expect and we hope to see the things that God has done. We have seen people healed, but we don't see everybody healed. We've seen people delivered and set free, but we don't see everybody delivered and set free. Why not? The whole creation groans and travails together until now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting to see God's Spirit just flow through each and every person who calls upon His name. We read the Bible where it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. If they take, they will take up the serpent. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." These are the signs of a believer. We look around. Do we see that? Rarely. We don't see it all the time. But that's what the Bible says we should expect. So as we anticipate God moving in such a miraculous way, we get our hopes set on it, and then it doesn't work out the way we think it ought to. And people say, "Oh, your faith isn't strong enough," or so many other different things, so many other reasons why it doesn't happen. And the bottom line is, we don't know. In this church, about 4 or 5 years ago, we have we haven't seen him in about 2 years, but there is a Methodist minister in Georgia. At the time, he was living in St. Simon's Island. He's legally blind. Him and his wife would come up to Vermont on vacation once a year. And we had another couple attending at the time who the wife was losing her eyesight. One eye was like 2400, 20/20 is normal. 2400 is, you know, not good. And the other eye wasn't quite that bad, but it was like 20/150. You know, and she was going blind. She could not drive. She had a grandchild on the way, a granddaughter coming, and she had been praying, and many people over the years had prayed for her, and nothing was happening. And this blind gentleman was in here one day, and he just felt the need to pray for her, and he prayed for her. And she went in for surgery. She had a doctor's, some eye surgery thing coming up. What was happening is, the blood vessels on the retina, the back of the eye, were, bursting, and she was getting blood in her eyes and blocking her vision. She couldn't see. And, so she was going in for the surgery and was kind of anxious about it. And this blind brother prayed for her. She goes in for the surgery. The doctors expected, this was in the 2400 eye, the doctors expected it to come back to, I don't know, you know, actually she's going in for both eyes. Both eyes were getting operated on. And the doctors were expecting maybe 2100, that, you know, much better, but certainly not ideal. And she came through the surgery. And the eye that was 2400 is now 2020. And the eye that was 2020, or the eye that was 2150 is now 2030. She says, "The doctors couldn't do that. God did that." But she had been prayed for years, even before she lost her license because she couldn't see. Her eyes were getting bad. She was anxious and she had been praying for a long time, wanting God to heal her. And nothing happened. It wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. And all of a sudden it did. All of a sudden, God did it. We anticipate what God is doing. God says, "I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you." It says in Scripture that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. Actually, it's in Isaiah, so it doesn't name Jesus, but the suffering servant. "He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." An expectation, a done deal. And we still go through things. Why do we do these things? How do we react when we find ourselves not seeing what we expected. It tells us in Romans that we're eagerly anticipating it. In Ecclesiastes 3, beginning with verse 9, says, "What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task to which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. God has also put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives." Solomon, way back in the Old Testament, said, God gives us tasks to do and makes everything beautiful in its time and has put an eternity in our heart, an expectation of more. An expectation of more than we see. An expectation of more than we experience. An expectation of great and glorious things that God has promised to do. Final passage of Scripture, Psalm 30, beginning with verse 10. Says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned me from my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." God turns our mourning into dancing. That means we have mourning in the first place. We have disappointment. We have issues. We have problems in our lives. And even through that, God is still gracious and God is still at work in us. He gives us a peace and a comfort that doesn't make sense. The old King James calls it the peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that doesn't make sense to the logical mind. He gives it to us. As we face disappointments, as we face things not working out the way that we think they ought to, we realize that He is God and we are not. That God has a plan and we don't know all of the answers. We don't even know all the questions. God is still at work. We have seen His hand at work in our lives. So I just want to leave you with that. Father, we come before You, thanking You that You are God and we are not. Thanking You that You know all things. And thanking You, Lord, that you love us. And You work in us and You work through us. We thank You, Father, for the promise that one day we will know even as also we are known. One day the things that don't make sense now will be perfectly obvious. One day all our shortcomings and our failed expectations will be healed and made right. So Father, we give praise and thanks that You are the one who sees the end from the beginning. That all of our days were written in the book before ever any of them were. And that knowing everything about us, You love us. You've called us. You've forgiven us. And You work through us. We give You all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.